Hey, welcome to our pre-show today for the 22nd of November. And no sooner do I sit down here in the studio to begin the pre-show, I realize I've got to take a leak.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'll be right back. And I'm back. By the way, we're watching the show that Jackie and I are watching now, The Haunting of Hill House. It's very good. It's very good with Timothy Hutton and a bunch of actors that are terrific. I haven't seen or heard of too many of them before. Timothy Hutton's the most recognizable. But it's based on the, did you see the movie The Haunting way, way back in the day? And there's a book called The Haunting of Hill House by Shirley Jackson. And Shirley Jackson, I remember from school when I was in, I don't know, junior high, middle school, whatever you want to call it back in the day. We read a short story called The Lottery by Shirley Jackson. And it was a brilliantly written, very creepy, scary story about this town that's having this festival. And you're buying a ticket to see if you can win the who wins the lottery, right? Everybody buys a ticket, and everyone has, meanwhile, there's food, and there's prizes, and there's a fair, and there's a merry-go-round, whatever the fuck. And finally, they come to the point in the afternoon where they draw the winner of the lottery, and they draw the winner, and the person is not happy at all. Because the winner of the lottery doesn't win a prize, the winner of the lottery is stoned to death. And it's a long-standing tradition in this village. And boy, it's creepy as fuck, this short story by Shirley Jackson. So then I found out that she was the writer behind The Haunting, which was a movie I saw as a kid, scared the shit out of me, with Julie Harris, Claire Bloom, Russ Tamblyn, I forget who else was in it. I thought it was a fucking scary movie for, you know, a little 9-year-old kid. Anyway, it's 10 years old. And then comes The Haunting of Hill House, which is the book. That's the actual title of the book. And that's what's on Netflix right now. And that's what we're watching. Really good. I'm enjoying the shit out of it. All right, man. So tonight's show, we have, you know, we kind of story arc these things, as you know, from time to time. And we're story arcing this very quick 2-episode story arc of Chef Chedilia. The fact that he's gagging on cheese. And or whatever it is, as he's trying to sing. And so tonight we're going to be talking with a sponsor who pulled out from the show, doesn't want to sponsor the show anymore, because he was disgusted by Chef Chedilia's performance, because he heard Chef Chedilia had, what is it called? Drool and snot. Snool. I don't know. That's what they were saying. He suffers from snool. Let me turn the heat on in here, man. Oh, boy. By the way, go to my IMDb page, man. I got a brand new demo reel up. I'm very, very happy with it. Thank you to Ted Ferguson. Thank you to Ryan Doherty for helping me with that. Ted was my... Ted Ferguson is an interesting story. I've known Ted since the late 70s, early 80s. When I first met Ted... Actually, the early 80s. When I first met Ted, he came to Los Angeles to be the program director of K-West, KWST, 106, I don't know, what did we call ourselves? Turn It Up, 106, K-West, 106, 106 K, Turn It Up, that was our logo, our slogan. And it was in L.A., and then it became Power 106, then it became, I don't know what the fuck it is now. But back in the early 80s, it was K-West, 106 K-West, or K-West 106, forget which. And Ted was the program director. Yeah, he came from Detroit? I think he had been programming in Detroit, he'd been programming in Miami, and he came to LA. And I was doing morning drive, and I really sucked. I mean, I sucked. I was a shitty disc jockey. Just take it from me. I don't know which is where, I was a worse disc jockey or a stand-up comedian. Both are areas that I failed miserably in. But Ted mercifully fired me, and you know, I'm not angry at him for that at all. It's what he should have done. It's what I would have done. So cut to 40 years later. And I don't know where I saw Ted. Maybe I saw his name in a cast list or something. But he has been acting for the last 20 years. He was on NCIS among his many credits. And he and I began talking over Facebook Messenger, and... one thing led to another in terms of the conversation. I said, well, you know, you have these acting reels that you put together. He said, you know, I looked at your reel, man. You know, if I were you, And he gave me some input, and he was actually right about a lot of it. So he took the reel and sort of redid it. And then Ryan, Jackie's son, plugged in the new open there of Grey's Anatomy, which is a pretty good scene for me. And then we're going to do one more thing with it, but it's up there on my IMDb page if you want to look at it. It's basically, that's the point I'm trying to make. And the other point I'm trying to make is, Ted, it's good to catch up with you, brother. And the other cat that I caught up with was Steve Downs. Steve did evenings. I did afternoon drive. What time was Steve on? Steve did evenings 6 to 10 on K-West. I did afternoon drive. Ted was the program director. And I've been in touch with both of those guys. Steve does voiceover now, and he's got a very prominent part on a video game. Hold on. And he lives, I believe he lives in Sarasota now, was in L.A. He's from Pittsburgh, I think. He came to L.A. and lived in Los Angeles for a long time. He was with us at K-West. He went over to KLOS. Then he went to Chicago, and then he got into voiceover and modeling because Steve's a good-looking guy, you know. He's about as good-looking as me, and, you know, I could have been a model, but I wasn't. And, of course, you know I'm kidding. But anyway, where the fuck are you? Oh, here. Where the fuck are you, you dirty? Hello, Mom. Here.
How do you spell Steve? D-O...
Steve Downs. Here, Steve Downs, actor, Halo. There he is. Steve is an American voice actor and disc jockey from Columbus, Ohio. Is widely known for providing the voice of Master Chief John 117 from the Halo franchise of video games made for the Xbox. He has voiced Master Chief... since 1990, no, wait a minute. He's voiced Master Chief in nearly every Halo game in existence and in trailers, commercials, other Halo games. Way to do it, Steven. He's been married to Liz Swifler since 1992. Very proud of you, man. Steve's a hell of a, he's a great guy. And so there's two cats from K-West that suddenly I've reconnected with, both of whom are in the voice acting and in the acting world. There's Ted, there's Steve, and there's me. We ought to have drinks one night, guys, or we should have dinner or something. Steve, when are you in California next? When are you in California next, Ted? I'm the only guy that lives out here. I think Ted's in the Atlanta area. Steve's probably back. Steve's in Florida and Chicago. Beautiful thing, man. Now, here's Ted Ferguson. Where's Ted? And Ted told me a story. You know, I'll fuck it up, so I don't want to tell you the story yet. Here's Ted Ferguson, NCIS. Ted's an American actor with an international flair from Moortown to Motown, Hollywood to Bollywood, Paris to Papeete. Who wrote this, Ted? I think I know. Ted Ferguson grew up in Shreveport's Moortown, Louisiana. Most deadly zip code, 40 years of broadcasting. Ted retired from radio and work at the age of 50 in 1999, but decided in 2005 to go back to LSU. Then he went to a bunch of other stuff. He flunked out in 68 in the middle of the Vietnam War. He was a missionary. His acting career started in 2005 with an extra role that turned into a principal role, Blonde Ambition, with Jessica Simpson, Luke Wilson, and Willie Nelson. How about that? Ted's got some good credits here. He's got NCIS. He's got Brothers, Carved, Bookie, Match Me If You Can, The Five Star Murder, The Hopewell Haunting, Bottoms, George and Tammy. Good shit, bro. And his reel is up here, too. Where's your reel at, man? There it is. Ted Ferguson. Do you mention that you were at K-West, man? I don't think he does, just as he was in broadcasting. I don't mention that I was at K-West either. I mean, who the fuck even... You know what I'm saying? It's like... K-West, that was a good time. I mean, I met a lot of good people there. Frank Bennett, Dusty Rhodes, Tom McKay, Steve Downs, Pam May, music director, Monty Gast, who was our GM for a while, good guy. Tom Yates was our program director / program consultant for a while. I mean, you know, the station was... It was. You know, you're working at a rock station that's trying to find its level in Los Angeles in the late 70s, early 80s. Shit was changing, you know. The album rock glory days of the 70s were rapidly coming to a close, and the early 80s would see the emergence of new wave and punk rock and stations like K-Rock in L.A. that specialized in the new music. And so the AOR stations, the album rock stations, were sort of caught between a rock and a hard place. And, you know, we're starting to sound a little tired, a little lame. And then came classic rock. And that was in 87. And I was a part of one of the very first classic rock stations in the country, KLSX in LA. And I was doing mornings at that station. And I'm telling you, there's a picture of me. I put a picture of me on Instagram of me flying back from London for KLSX. And I said I was very unhappy in those days. I was. I was fucking miserable. I was miserable. You know, I knew I had far more talent than I was evidencing on the radio. And the radio was just a shit show, you know. And so finally what happened to me is I bounced from one radio job to another until I finally got the guts to quit all of it, put together a tape of really the real Phil Hendry, I guess you would say. And I began shopping that tape of me doing characters, of me doing this kind of stylized radio theater. And that's when I got my job at KVEN in Ventura, and that's when things really started to turn around for me. You know, you have to be... What is the quote that we have? When you stop trying to please other people, that's when you find yourself as an artist. It goes something like this. Okay, you ready? Where is it, man? Come on, bitch. Come on, bitch. An artist discovers his genius the day he dares not to please. Andre Malraux, okay? Now, substitute anything. An artist discovers his genius the day he dares not to please. Anybody in any line of work, when you want to find how good you are, quit trying to please people. Just try to make yourself happy, because you don't want to fail. You don't want to fucking fail. You don't want to fuck up. I said, well, if you're just trying to make yourself happy, aren't you going to make a lot of mistakes? Fuck no. If you're trying to make yourself happy, you got to try to do everything perfect. The first thing I do in this line of work is I try to make myself laugh. I got to have a good time myself. If I'm not laughing, I'm not having a good time. Fuck this shit. I don't want to do it. That was the mistake that I made for the first 17 years of my career. An artist discovers his genius the day he dares not to please. Meaning, quit trying to make the fuck, you know, somebody famous said once, I don't know the key to success, but I do know the key to failure, trying to make everybody happy. That's the key. You will fail faster than you can fucking possibly imagine when you try to do that. Okay, I'm done.